A continued zchus lerefuah shleima, Rina Bas Aliza Chana, a young woman in our community who needs our tefillos, who needs our Torah to stand as a zchus, as a merit for her. So the Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos, Daf Lamed Beis, the same Gemara appears also in Tainus on Daf Chaf, La'olam al yamod adam b'makom sakana. A person should never stand in a place which is a dangerous place, or put themselves in a situation where they might be faced with danger, and say to yourself, She'osan lo neis, don't worry, God is going to take me out of it, He knows how to perform miracles, I'm going to be okay. Shema, says the Gemara, Einosan lo neis. Not every time does a miracle happen, so a person shouldn't put themselves in a situation where they have to rely on a miracle. Vim osan lo neis. You'll say, well, the last five times I did this dangerous thing, a miracle happened, so maybe I should do it again. Says the Gemara, even if a nes is done, you menakin lo mizchuyosef. You should know that you're using up, so to speak, your points, your zchusim and shamayim. It's not worth it to use them up on this dangerous encounter that you're putting yourself into. So this is something that the Gemara talks about. It's something that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch in three places. In Yerodeah, it comes up in Kuf Tes Zayin. That's the beginning of Chelik Beis in Yerodeah. Comes up once again in Siman Kuf Ayin Tes in Yerodeah. And then in Choshen Mishpat, in the very end, the last Siman in Siman Tav Chav Zayin, when the Choshen Mishpat talks about Lo Sasim Damin Bebeisecha, that a person has to be careful that the roof has a fence, that people shouldn't put themselves in danger when they go on the roof. So this is the halacha, and this is the source of the halacha. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis, a very similar statement, Echad Mehadvarim Shemazkir Navanosav Shaladam. One of the things that reminds, so to speak, the Ribono Shel Olam of the fact that we have terrible averus, that we have a lot to answer for, is Ha'over Tachas Kir Notay. If somebody goes in a dangerous place, and there's a question whether or not the Ribono Shel Olam should save them, should he do a miracle for them? So he has to pull out the books and see, are you worthy of a miracle, or perhaps you don't have that many schusim? So this is something the Gemara tells us is not a good idea at all. What if a person actually goes through an experience, not that they asked for the miracle to be done, not that they put themselves in a situation where they asked for anything or anticipated a miracle, but a person has an experience in life which is absolutely miraculous. So what do you do in a case like that? So the Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos, the appropriate response for a person who goes through something of that nature is, Yasa mehem tzarchei rabim. A person should give that money or that benefit that they gain on the part of that miracle, they should give it for a communal benefit, for a communal need. Tzarchei rabim. Give the money to the mikvah, give whatever benefit you got to a communal need, to the shul, or to something of that nature. Where do we learn this from? So the Gemara says from Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu survives a very difficult and dangerous encounter with a malach. He almost lost his life. All he walked away with was some pain in his leg, but after all, his life was saved. And immediately following that, we are told, Vayichan es penei ha'ir. Rashi explains, what does it mean, Vayichan es penei ha'ir? Rashi says, he did something, tikin drachim, he made highways, or he did something to help the economy around him, to show that all the miracle that he just experienced is something that he's willing to kick back into the community. He wasn't going to save it for himself. He says, if my life was saved from this very dangerous encounter, he's now going to give over his life to the community and make sure that he gives tzarchei rabim from that which he has been spared. This is quoted lahalacha in the Magen Avraham, Simen Reish Yud Ches and Arachaim, where he says Tzarchei Rabim is the way to go. Why does that make sense? Why should Tzarchei Rabim be the appropriate response to someone who has a miracle? So the answer is very simple. Because if we're afraid that by a miracle happening to you, you've used up many of your schusim, if we're concerned that now you're going to deplete all the great merit that you have in Shamayim for all the wonderful things you've done, what's the fastest way to get yourself rid again? To do it Tzarchei Rabim. You give money to the mikvah, everybody's going to use it. Now you have the schus of every family in the neighborhood who's keeping Taras HaMashpacha. If you give money to the shul for a meaningful purpose, you give money to something that will benefit many, so then we assume that's going to be something that you'll have many, many schusim. You dedicate a sitter to the shul, it's going to be used by 100 different people, now you have 100 tefillos, 100 schusim. It's not like doing one mitzvah, it's doing many mitzvahs just by one act that you do. So therefore we assume the greatest way to accumulate merit once again, now that you've, so to speak, wiped it out, is to do it tzarchei rabim, and this way the rabim that performs the mitzvah on your behalf will vicariously give you the schusim, and then you will once again fill up, so to speak, whatever this means, you'll fill up the schusim that you have in Shamayim. It's interesting to note, we spoke a few weeks ago about Birchas HaGomel, so when a person goes through somewhat miraculous experience, let's say you have an illness and now the person is now healed and they're not ill any longer, or you have other kinds of experiences, so you have to make a Birchas HaGomel. So you'll notice that when we make the Birchas HaGomel, you don't just say Amen after the person's bracha, but you offer them a bracha back in response. You say, Mishagmalcha kol tov, hu yigmalcha kol tov sela. Why are we offering a tefillah? Why are we offering a bracha on behalf of the person who just made the bracha himself? So some Mefarshim explain very simply, because when the person benches Gomel and they're very thankful over the fact that they experienced a great miracle, that they're no longer sick, that they didn't die in the desert, that they didn't have a dangerous flight, whatever it might be, so now you're thanking the Ribono Shel Olam for the miracle. Now, we all recognize when a miracle is done for a person, when someone goes through something like that, you're depleting your schusim. So we give you back a bracha, Mishig Malcha Kol Tov, he, the Ribono Shel Olam, who gave you the great experience of having this salvation now, your schusim should never finish. He should always have enough to give you and provide for you anytime you need, and you shouldn't have to worry about the fact that you're depleting your schusim and next time you won't have any left. So that's why perhaps we respond with a bracha, specifically on the Birchas Hagomel, we don't just say Amen, but we say Amen, plus we also want a tefillah that you should have the same kind of experience the next time you're faced with such a dangerous kind of situation. So Rashi writes on Maseches Tainus, that not only is a person not supposed to put themselves in a dangerous situation because you're going to deplete your schusim, and not only do we assume that if that happens to a person, yasimam tzarchei rabim, Rashi says one is actually forbidden to use that money. Aser lehenos b'maisa nisim, one is not allowed to derive benefit from an open miracle that took place, that transpired in their lives. Rashi says, aser lehenos b'maisa nisim. That's the comment that Rashi makes, which leads many achronim to ask, the Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank discusses it in his Sefer on Hilchos Chanukah, so he talks about what right did the Chashmonaim have to use the oil. After all, it was absolutely miraculous, there was nothing natural about it at all, and yet they went ahead night after night and used that oil to burn in the Beis HaMikdash. You're not allowed, Rashi says, to lehenes mimaisa nisim, you're not allowed to derive benefit, to derive pleasure from a miracle that takes place, so what right did they have? Which leads us, in order to answer that question, it leads us to a comment made by the Chidah in this week's Parsha. Just recently, someone in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi David Mandelbaum, he's a Talmud Chacham Muflag, who wrote probably 40 Svarim. Each one of them is an absolute gem and an amazing contribution. If you've ever seen the Sefer Pardes Yosef, right? So the second half of the Pardes Yosef was not written by the original author. It was written by Rabbi David Mandelbaum, who's a grandson or great-grandson, something. He's a prolific author, an amazing Mechaber Svarim, incredible Talmud Chacham. So he recently sent me in the mail 4 Svarim that he wrote on the Chidah on Chumash. He collected from the various Svarim of the Chidah, and he put it, Haseder HaParshia. So, number one, in order to do that, you have to know all the Chidahs all over the place to figure out how to do it properly, but he does. He's an amazing genius. They told me, actually, that when he went to print the first volume of the Pardes Yosef that he wrote, so he came with the manuscript, he didn't have a computer, he did it all by hand, and he came to the editor or whoever, the typesetter, and he gave him, I guess, thousands of pages of handwritten notes, and he told him to start working on it. So somebody told him, you should save it. What are you putting it in the Seamus afterward? You should save this. So he said, why should I save it? What am I going to do? Now it's all typed up. So they said, no, no one's ever going to believe that you did this all by yourself, and you actually went to the libraries and looked up every book. He didn't use the computer. He figured it out on his own. And you look in the Pardes Yosef, it's overwhelming to see world of Rishonim and Acharonim that he understands and he knows on his fingertips. It's amazing. So he recently put out a set of a few volumes from the Chidah and Chumash. In there, I figured he sent it to me, so I should use it. So I saw in this week's Parsha, Parshas B'Shalach, he has a comment of the Chidah, where the Chidah asks, in our Parsha we have many miracles transpire, but one of the miracles that takes place is the Jewish people are provided with the man in the Midbar. So what right, asks the Chidah, did the Jews have to eat the man? Don't we know, Rashi says, it's usher to have hana from a miracle. Here this was an open miracle, no one could deny that. The man was not something they were expecting, it wasn't something they were deserving of, it was something that was absolutely miraculous. And yet we know the Jewish people did not hold back from having benefit from the man. This is what sustained them all the years in the Midbar. So the most obvious answer that he gives is, it was pikuach nefesh. Here you are, you're in the desert. You have nothing else to eat, you have nothing else to do. You have no option. So obviously in a case like that, the best thing to do is to use the man, because that's the best case scenario. What else are you going to do if you're going to die in the Midbar as a result of your not having benefit from the miracle itself? So that's the answer that he says. And he writes, maybe that's why the pasuk says that Amri Ish El Echav, I think the pasuk says, one fellow said to the other when they saw this thing falling from the sky, Manhu. What does it mean, Manhu? What's the definition of the word Man? So he said, Man is a Rashi Tevos, Maisa Nisim. They looked at one another, they said, this is Maisa Nisim, this is miraculous. We can't derive benefit, we can't derive pleasure from that. And they looked at each other, they said, we all know that Rashi says, again, Rashi didn't live yet, but we all know the concept that you're not supposed to derive pleasure and benefit from a miracle, and therefore they weren't sure what to do. And finally they realized, yes, it's true that it's Maisa Nisim, but we don't have a choice. It's Pikuach Nefesh, we don't have a choice, we have nothing else to do. The Chidah points out that perhaps this is why in Parashas Ekev, When once again the Torah recounts the story of the miracle of the man, the pasuk says, "Vayancha, vayariveka, vayachilcha as haman." The pasuk says the whole history. The Ribbono Shel Olam was ma'ana you, means he made you suffer. Vayariveka, and you were starving. And then vayachilcha as haman, says the Chidah, why does the Torah have to give me the introductory sentence to tell me, oh, you were starving and you were hungry and you were pained by the fact that you didn't have food? Answers the Chidah, that was the only heter that they had to eat it. Because you were starving and you were suffering and you were in the desert and you had nothing to do otherwise. Therefore, the Ribbono Shel Olam gave you the man. And in a case like that, when you have no other choice, no other option, you have to eat the man because the miracle is the only thing that could save your life. So that's the first answer that he gives, which again is not going to help us for our story over here. How were the Chashmonaim able to use the Pach HaShemen? The Chidah then writes perhaps another interpretation, and that is the following. He says, you're right. When does the Gemara say one is not allowed to put themselves in a dangerous situation because you're relying on miracles and maybe you'll wipe yourself out, you'll deplete all your schusim? That's only when we're talking about a yachid, when we're talking about an individual. But when we're talking about a tzibur, the community as a whole has so many schusim. Communally, we've done so much to accrue a whole list, a whole host of schusim and shamayim. So what are you concerned about? The Ribbono Shel Olam gives the Jewish people man. What do you think? This was a communal miracle. Do you think that's going to deplete the entire Jewish people from their schusim? It can't be. So therefore, he says, when it comes to a communal miracle, there's no reason to be concerned about the fact, maybe I'm going to use up my schusim, and therefore I shouldn't have anah from the miracle that was performed. No, you're absolutely allowed to have anah from it, because, after all, it's a miracle that was performed on behalf of the entire community, not just for you individually. Therefore, we assume that that's permissible. This is very similar to what the Bechor Shor writes in the Shari Tshuva, quotes the Bechor Shor in Hilchas Chanukah. In Chanukah, we're told, the Shulchan Aruch writes, if a person forgets al anisim, the halacha is you don't go ahead and repeat the Birchas HaMazon. You don't repeat the benching if you forgot it, because al anisim is just whatever. The reason why we don't add it, why we don't have to repeat the same way, why we repeat by Yom Tif if we forget Yalav Yavo, that's what the Shulchan Aruch discusses, but it's clear you don't have to. However, says the Shulchan Aruch, if a person remembers while they're in the middle of Harachaman, before they've concluded the benching, you should add in Harachaman hu yase lanu nisim, kein yase soti, you should do nisim the same way you did it by Yom Mahem, soti you should do Bazman Hazeh, and then you add in al anisim. So the Mefarshim are all bothered. How are you allowed to ask for a miracle? The Gemara says, you're not allowed to pray for a miracle. You're not allowed to go ahead and have benefit from a miracle. So how can we say in the benching, HaRachamonu Yasal Nisim, we ask you, please, to have mercy on us and do miracles. How are you allowed to do miracles? The answer is no. We're not asking specifically that you should do a miracle for me. I'm asking, Hu Yasal Anonisim, the same way you did a miracle in the times of Hanukkah for the entire Jewish people, so too we ask, do a miracle for the entire Jewish people and save us from all of our oppressors, save us from all of our difficulties. This is no violation of the principle of having benefit from a miracle when we're talking about the context of a tzibur, when we're talking about a group of people, when it's not an individual person. So I was once discussing this with Rav Asher Weiss, this idea, and he said he doesn't think you have to come on to all these fancy reasons that the Chidah suggests or others suggest by Chanukah or by other cases. He says it's very simple. When you have a situation where the Ribbono Shel Olam provides the Jewish people with a miracle, and it's clear that Tachlis Kol HaNeis was L'Shem Hanah V'Toeles, it's clear, why did the Ribbono Shel Olam give you this miraculous oil by the times of Hanukkah? Why did the Ribbono Shel Olam provide you in this week's parsha with the man? It's clear that the intent was obviously that you should use it. Not every time we experience a private miracle is it clear that it's obviously meant to be used. Maybe the Ribbono Shel Olam gave it to you, now it's up to you to decide what to do. So Rashi suggests, give it to Tzor HaRam, don't keep it for yourself, don't use up your schusim. But when we're talking about a situation where it's so clear and obvious to anyone that the reason why this miracle was performed was certainly because the Ribbono Shel Olam wants that we should derive pleasure and benefit from it. So how can you say in a case like that, Asa lehanes b'maisa nisim? It doesn't make sense. Why else would he do it? It's similar to the Gemara Shabbos, and with this we'll close. The Gemara has a story about a man who unfortunately lost his wife, and his wife had just had a young baby, and he didn't know, how am I going to take care of the child? I don't have enough money to buy food for the kid. I don't have enough money to hire someone else to nurse the baby, and I don't have a wife to nurse my child. So the Gemara says a tremendous open miracle happened, and he grew female organs that now he was able to go ahead and feed his child on his own. Unbelievable miracle. So the Acharonim ask, what right did he have to use that miracle? Asur lehanes b'maisa nisim. The answer is no. The Ribbono Shel Olam saw that this person was in a very difficult predicament. He realized that he has no way around it. He doesn't know how he's going to raise his child. The answer is, I provide you with a miracle and I want you to use it. When it's clear and obvious from the miracle that was performed that you're intended to actually make use of it, in a case like that, Rashi would never say his principle that Asur lehanes b'maisa nisim, because otherwise the Ribbono Shel Olam would not have performed the miracle for you. It was clear that in a case like that, and or in some of these other cases, like the Man in Erev Parsha or the Pach Shemen by the Nes of Chanukah, it's clear that in a case like that, The Ribbono Shel Olam intends, with all intent, that we should actually use it for our benefit, we should use it for whatever is intended for, and that we should derive all the pleasure in the world from the man or from anything else of that very nature.